What's up, backyard preachers? What's going on? It's Nate Sproat, backyard preacher himself. Welcome to the Backyard Preacher Podcast, the one and the only. So, hope y'all are having a good week today. We're gonna talk about love today. We're gonna talk about kindness today. And we're not gonna talk about love and kindness as what we can do for others. We're going to talk about how we can do it for ourselves. Where's my intro? I forgot my intro. Forget the intro this time. Who needs an intro? I always do a silly little intro, you know. Dear Reverend, Nate Sproat, blah, blah, blah. Backyard Preacher Podcast. If you like this podcast, share this podcast. If you don't like it, share it anyway. Sometimes you just don't need an intro. I guess I just gave an intro. But it's been my weekend. It's Wednesday, but it's been my weekend since my day job requires me to work in all different kinds of days. I've had the last 2 days off, and you know, I haven't been very kind to myself. And when I say that, I've been down on myself. I've been hard on myself. I made some mistakes. And when you make mistakes, when you hurt other people who you love in life, you tend to be very hard on yourself. You tend to grieve. And a lot of times that grieving is selfish grieving, because you realize that you aren't even truly sorry, but you're only sorry because you got caught. And for me to say that in front of millions of people possibly takes a, and I guess it doesn't take a lot of courage, because I don't know who's listening, but I just want to be real. And I've always said, you know, I'm a preacher that's real, because we all deal with issues. I deal with many vices in my life, but then I get right back up again, dust my feet off, and drive on. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. I'd be serving 25 years, 30 years in prison. God's grace is amazing. And regardless of the mistakes we make in life, what we do in life, when we stand before God, we won't have anything. We won't have anything but the blood of Jesus. Or not. Now I know I'm a fairly liberal Christian, but I'm a Christian. Because when it all comes down to it, we need the blood of Jesus in our lives. We need to be focused on what really matters. And that's each other. And that's you. We need to be focused on ourselves. And by focusing on ourselves, not in a selfish way. See, I probably said that you probably took that the wrong way. I mean, over these last 2 days, I really couldn't do nothing. I was in a state of depression. Situationally depressed, and I honestly did not feel like doing anything. I couldn't do anything good for anybody. And by not being able to do anything good for anybody, because I was hard on myself, then what good am I? I needed to be kind to myself. I need to forgive myself. See, God's going to forgive us. He always does. Always will. He's the eternal God of love and light. He's always going to forgive us. But so many times we don't forgive ourselves. So many times we don't admit when we were wrong. And by admitting when we were wrong, we forgive ourselves. We understand that, okay, It is what it is. Now it's time to move on in the love and grace of God. And by doing so, we can pick up where we left off and start taking action steps. My fiance talks about it all the time. Well, what action steps are you taking? And I tell her, well, my will. She's not too happy with that. But I truly believe that our will is more powerful than we know. We can will things into existence through the manifestations that take place through our actions, through our words. We can will things into existence. We can will ourselves into a better life. We can will ourselves, because everything's energy. Everything is energy. And if we tap into the right frequencies of energy, into the right vibrations, we can will it to take place. If you want something bad enough, you can achieve it if you want it bad enough. But are you willing to get to that vibrational level to achieve it? And sometimes that may not, you may not be able to, because you just don't have what it takes to get there. You don't have the willpower to make it happen. So to change, to repent, to change, to move on, takes will. It takes will, it takes courage. It takes the ability to have faith, because basically you don't know if what's going to come out of this is going to be something good or not. Faith being the evidence of what's not seen. You can't prove that to anybody. It's because I can't prove God to anybody. You can't prove God to me. But we believe in God based on our faith. And that faith is something we can't prove either. But by action sometimes, as James says, I'll prove my faith by my actions. And that's how we prove our faith, but you still can't prove God. Now, a lot of great apologists will try to prove God. And listen, I've got a 1,000-page book on apologetics that I've read mostly through my seminary course on apologetics. And man, they got some cool philosophical twist on how to prove God. But you really can't, except through experience in your own personal life. And maybe personal experience you can share with somebody else, maybe able to touch them so they may have a personal experience in their life. I think personal experience is absolutely vital in faith. Personal experience is vital, and many hyper-fundamentalists would say it's just the Bible, nothing else, no experience necessary. Now, I think experience is absolutely necessary. The writers of the scriptures had experience. They had personal experience with God that allowed them to write the scripture, inspired text. We also have the ability to be inspired, to be inspirited. The preacher writes an inspired sermon. I'm not saying I should go into the Bible and we should canonize it, but it's still inspired. You say something good to somebody, a good word. Say a good word, as Paul says. Have an exhortation. It's inspired to move with the Spirit. I don't know why I got off track to that. Back to being kind to ourselves. It's all to love ourselves. So I'll say, you know what? It's okay to be where I'm at today. It's all right. It's all right. And life will go on until it doesn't anymore. It's good. You know, I was down at an open mic night tonight at a church that I attend. It's in the downtown area of where I live, and there's many people that attend this church who are homeless or close to homeless, and You know, it makes you really count your blessings. It really makes you just want to reach out and say, man, that could be me, but not for the grace of God. Thank you. But you know what? I think there's freedom in not having much either. I think there's some freedom in just maybe just having the backpack on your shoulders. You're not tied down. It's that freedom I really want to have, but you know, I've been close to that before. Very close. And I've experienced that freedom. That freedom away from money. And that's one of my issues in life. One of my issues in life is to gain wealth. To gain wealth and status where in a not in a trusting God manner. I just do things on impulse. Compulsive nature. I have a compulsive nature and that compulsive nature that I have doesn't work out very well for me. Because either it's in good or in bad, sometimes my compulsive nature ends up negatively or affects people negatively. I need to have self-control over my compulsive nature. Who knows, maybe I need to go back to self-help groups. I don't know. But what I do know is that God is love. What I do know is that we can't sit around being hard on ourselves. Peter gives us a great example when he denied Christ 3 times. He was hard on himself. He was hard on himself so much that when the women came to the tomb, Jesus said, tell the other apostles, tell the other disciples, and Peter. Peter was almost, it was like the writer excluded Peter from the rest of the group. Did Peter exclude himself from the group? He didn't as much as Judas did. Judas was so hard on himself that he killed himself. And sometimes there's many people that are so hard on themselves they do. You see that in many times in the Asian cultures. I mean, it's not just in that culture, it's in all the cultures of the world, but I lived in South Korea for a time, and we heard of the stories of the young men in the military who were sent home or did something, they got in trouble, and they dishonored their parents, and they killed themselves. And I actually know of the story when I first went into the military myself. A young man who I never met, but this tragedy just happened like a week past before I came to the unit. And they were talking about this young man, and I don't know the man's name. This was over 15 years ago. But it was a pretty big deal, of course, obviously. And he got a second OWI. His first one that he got in trouble for, but they weren't going to kick him out of the military. I guess this guy was a really good soldier, had a lot of great potential, but he partied hard. He worked hard, partied hard. He got caught second time. Second time he was going to be out, done. You know, general discharge probably, but that was it. I mean, you're done. Your military career is over. It didn't last that long because he took his own life because of it. Now, this is what I've been told. I don't know the man's name, like I said, it's a story. I'm making it all up, but I'm not. He was so hard on himself, he didn't realize that there was still potential in his life past that moment, past that experience, past being discharged from the military. It seems like when you look at cases of suicide, people get themselves into such a state of depression that they feel like they have nowhere else to turn that it's over, it's done. But it's not done. It's not over. I had another friend. Now, this is a true story. I'm not going to mention his name because I do know his name. I served with him for a couple years. He wasn't the best soldier in the world. He wasn't what they would call squared away. But he was a fun guy. A fun, fun guy. But they were hard on him, very hard on him, because he was a little overweight. He wasn't the most handsome guy, so he never really got the lady. He spent money, allegedly, on prostitutes. He finally got put in a desk job. I don't know what actually all concurred, what all happened. But the guy was obviously extremely hard on himself. He did not love himself. He wasn't thankful for who he was. I don't think he knew Christ. And not saying that if a person does know Christ, they won't go to these steps. I mean, look at Peter. Peter could have very easily contemplated suicide. We don't know. All we know is that he didn't, and that he was in great remorse until Jesus called him back. And Peter, he said, and Peter, feed my sheep 3 times. Do you love me 3 times? Well, this young man killed himself right in the workplace with his own firearm. We need to love ourselves. We can go through hard times. This young man went through hard times, and I don't blame him. I blame the people that put him through those hard times. But when we, even when we go through those hard times, we need to get on our knees and say, Jesus, help me. Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. I don't know if I can carry on because I'm at a loss. We need to be thankful that we are still here, we're still breathing, that we can still help someone, that we can still thank somebody for loving us, that we can thank ourselves for loving ourselves, to breathe in the air, to breathe in the power of God, the risen Savior, the risen Lord, and understand that Jesus still lives in my heart. Jesus still lives in my heart, regardless of who I have been, what I have done. Because God's not finished with me yet. I'm taking this time and this place to kind of observe my life, and observe the situations in my life, and observe my situation, to learn from my life, and to, in a sense, rededicate my life to Christ, but also, in a sense, observe myself in a more strict way, and to love myself in a more freeing way. To not put so much emphasis on the material, but to place emphasis on the supernatural. You know, I can speak eloquently, or I can just speak like I'm speaking today, just having a conversation with you, man, just letting my heart out. And I think it's good that we do just let our hearts out, just, and to speak freely, and it's good that we maybe have someone we can speak freely to. This is not a game. Whether life is an illusion or not, it's still life, and we're still living it, and we're still in this place. And I know that you are loved. You are loved with the greatest love ever. You are loved unconditionally. And since you are loved unconditionally, you need to love yourself, because by doing so, then you can love others. By doing so, you can help others. By doing so, you can be the Jesus to somebody that needs Jesus right now. I encourage you, please, be the Jesus. Start being peace, start being love, start being everything that you want to be. If you aren't what you want to be, just say that you are it. If you feel ugly, start saying, I'm pretty. If you feel like a sinner, start saying, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I'm no longer a sinner. If you feel insecure, start saying, I'm secure. If you feel poor, start saying, I'm wealthy. If you feel like you're lacking in wisdom, start saying, I have wisdom. God will gladly give you what you want and what you need. Well, not always what you want. He's going to give you what you need. And maybe, just maybe, you'll realize that everything that you've gone through and everything that you're doing in life, even the mistakes, are going to count for something even greater and more blessings than you could ever imagine, because you're going to be there to help someone on that same road when you just end up talking to someone who's gone down the same path. And you've made it through. Peter could do that. Peter could do that. What do you think maybe Peter was thinking when he met Paul? When Paul was brought before the Jerusalem church by Barnabas, the encourager. Peter may have been skeptical. I don't know. The scripture doesn't really get into it. Yet, Peter may have thought about when he denied Christ. When he who knew the Lord denied Christ, he may have been thinking, this Paul, this Saul, who killed Christians, who locked them up, was totally ignorant of Christ, and yet now is a changed man. And he who knew Christ denied him, but did not let it destroy him. So maybe, he thought, maybe, all right, will give you the hand of fellowship. And they did. And that loving hand of fellowship is offered to you, to your neighbors, and give it out to everyone you meet. God bless. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, for this evening. I thank you, Lord God, for this podcast, Lord God, for this ministry, whatever it is worth. I thank you, Lord, for each and every single listener. Lord God, let everyone know that they are loved, that they have a purpose and a place in this life, Lord God. Jesus, be with them, be with all of us as we go forward from this day. Amen. Really want to thank you for listening to this podcast. I appreciate it. It's the Backyard Preacher podcast. This is the Backyard Preacher himself, Nate Sproat. Some people call me the Irreverend Reverend. Not really affiliated with any groups, kind of, sort of, but kind of a maverick. And I love you guys, man. Really do. I love people. People are great. So I thank you for listening. Thank you for hearing me share my burdens and placing them out there in the world. I got no shame. God bless you. I love you. And we will see you next time on the Backyard Preacher Podcast. Thanks for listening.